McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire, and I want to welcome you to our program, wherever you are on planet Earth, the USA, the European Union, any of the continents or cities, Australia, New Zealand. We could go on for a long time. By God's grace, the alternative media, social media channels that we're using have allowed us to be received in a lot of foreign countries. And that's a good thing, because there's a desperate need for truth in all areas of life. There, you know, when I was in Paris, France, several years ago speaking, this was like the week after the Charlie Hebdo terrorist attacks. When I accepted an invitation to speak at a Christian church in Paris, where 25,000 people attend. And when I accepted the invitation, you know, it was like several months after that, that the actual, that I flew to Paris. So in that time period, like directly a couple of days before, a week before I got there or less, the Charlie Hebdo terrorist attacks occurred. So I ministered, I spoke on Bible prophecy and current events to the main sanctuary of people. And then in the middle of this fear or potential fear of terrorism, the French people wanted to make a bold statement. And you've seen, in fact, I place it on the Paul McGuire social media, like Facebook and other stuff. I place the pictures of that. And I took the picture myself, and it says, "Not afraid." You've seen that in white lettering. And then there's just like, I don't know how many thousands and thousands of people that are gathering together to collectively say, "No fear," like we're not going to fear. And that's a good thing when we don't allow a spirit of fear to capture our heart, mind, and soul. Wherever you are in planet Earth, the probability that when you were so-called being educated as a child, you really were only, quote, educated in part. The predominant amount of your so-called education was really a form of indoctrination. And the goal was not to release all your giftings and God-given giftings and talents and abilities. That was not the goal. The goal was to make you compliant, subservient, don't question, don't ask questions, you know, be passive, and other things. Now, if you doubt what I'm saying, I can produce endless data and reports, and a lot of them I quote in my books at paulmcguire.us from leaders in this field of education who just came out and essentially disclosed what the real agenda behind education was. You see, from the moment we're born into this fallen world, I mean, If you're a mother and you're giving birth to a child, now a cesarean operation is somewhat different, obviously, but if you're having a traditional birth, we have all seen women, or at least I have, we've all seen women when they're going through the birth pains of giving birth, and it's never just all the pain at once. It, it stretches out. It goes up and it goes down, and finally, a woman, you know, breaks water, and then that's the announcement biologically that a baby is coming. So we're born into this world with a struggle. I mean, and when you're born, I don't know if it happens all the time. The doctor or the nurse or whatever gives the kid that's being born a good swat in the behind, and that's to get the baby, to shock the baby into breathing through its own lungs, and no longer breathe through the mother. So we're born into this world with the struggle. And because we live in a fallen world, it is not a completely friendly world. God's grace is still on it. Otherwise, we would be vaporized. There are still opportunities and open doors and all kinds of things. But generally speaking, this world system, well, not generally speaking, accurately speaking, this world system, and you say, well, what is the world system? Well, that's an important question. The world system is this temporary world system that you and I live in. And it started in the Garden of Eden when the devil who inhabited the serpent of old, used his exceptional abilities at persuasion, etc. And he convinced first Eve and then Adam that, you know, God was cheating them of something, and that there would be nothing wrong about breaking God's commandment, and that Eve and Adam should eat from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, which God commanded them not to do because God warned them if they did it, they would die on that day. Eve and Adam did not listen to God. They listened to the serpent of old who was indwelt by Satan. At that moment that they disobeyed God and ate from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, in an instant, both of them experienced shock, fear, anxiety, shame, and a whole flood of emotions and biological pain that they never experienced before. All of a sudden, they knew that they had fallen from that perfect relationship with God in the Garden of Eden. And they were afraid. And they knew that their bodies had begun to degrade and die, where prior to their eating of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, that didn't even faze them, because they had immortality. They were going to live forever with God in the Garden of Eden or Paradise. Now, the Garden of Eden or Paradise is what we call, or I call, real reality. Why is it real reality? Because that's the reality that God himself created. It's not a secondary creation or a copy machine creation. You know, it's not an imitation. It is the original template. And we see that in the mind of God, his plan for mankind from the very beginning was to live in a wondrous paradise with Adam and Eve as perfect beings in a perfect relationship with themselves and God, and to live forever, no sickness, disease, or anything, in the beauty of paradise or the Garden of Eden. And they wouldn't lack anything. Okay, so when they disobeyed God, they pulled the trigger of the law of sin and death came into the human race. Now, the question that has to be asked, what happened in that moment when Adam and Eve listened to the serpent of old and disobeyed God? Well, what happened in that moment, they activated the law of sin and death. And that means Adam and Eve and their descendants would all suffer a biological death, unless you're alive at the return of the Lord. And so this was a critical thing because all of creation fell, and the world, you know, things that were not in the world, like evil, now manifested. And because Adam and Eve were formally the kind of kings and queens of planet Earth, they were formally the rulers, they formally ruled and reigned planet Earth and exercised dominion over planet Earth. They were in charge. They had the authority from God, but they lost that when they disobeyed God. Now, in that time period called the fall of man, Satan was legally allowed to become the king or the ruler or the head spiritual being over planet Earth. So Satan became the temporary god or the temporary head of this present world system, which is a fallen world system. That's why so many bad things are happening in it constantly, because it's a fallen world system. And it is not currently under the rule of God. It's currently under the rule of Satan. And Satan is the temporary god of this world. Now, when Jesus Christ returns, he's going to put an end to the temporary rule of Satan over this world. So this temporary reality that we live in is under the rulership of Satan. And there's a hierarchy, very, very critical to understand this. There is a hierarchy within the powers of evil. And you know, the back of the U.S. dollar kind of features some occult symbolism that explains this. So when you look at the back of the U.S. dollar, you see a picture of a pyramid. That's an occult symbol. Actually, the Tower of Babel was constructed in the shape of a pyramid. And so you look on the back of the dollar, you see a pyramid, an occult structure, and then you see the all-seeing eye of Lucifer. And then on the bottom of the pyramid, you read the words in Latin, Nuvos Order Seclorum, or New Order of the Ages. So the pyramid also in corporations, but also in Satan's kingdom, the pyramid, the pyramidal flowcharts that corporations use, you know, they have the CEO and the CFO at the very top of the corporate pyramid. And then as you move down the pyramid, you'll have like presidents and directors and managers, et cetera, to your common employee. It's a hierarchy. It's a chain of command. Now, that chain of command is important. It's important to understand the reality of that chain of command. Why? Because whether you like it or not, guess what? You are in a daily spiritual war with the demonic entities that exist within that chain of command. Whether you want to own up to it or not, you are in an incredible struggle or spiritual battle against these demonic beings. And so you need to know the word of God. Knowledge is power. And so, for example, Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul says, "For our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, the powers, the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places. There, the Apostle Paul, is outlining the hierarchy, the chain of command among Satan and the fallen angels and the demons. For our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And then as you go below that, there are more demonic beings represented. Now, in addition to that, on planet Earth, since the fall of mankind, starting in ancient super civilizations, actually starting before the Tower of Babel in ancient Babylon, and certainly taking off at the Tower of Babel in ancient Babylon, there was the creation of a kind of counterfeit heaven on earth concocted by the ruler of ancient Babylon, whose name was Nimrod. Now, Nimrod was also the spiritual and political head of ancient Babylon. He was the ruler, and he was the spiritual head. And ancient Babylon, at the time of the Tower of Babel, was the world's first new world order. So Nimrod is a type of the Antichrist. And in this ancient new world order, beginning at Babylon, it consisted of a one world government, one world religion, and one world economic system. Very important to understand. When God comes down to check out ancient Babylon, he's not happy with what he sees, because God sees everything. And what God makes them some things clear to us about his laws, because there are a vast number of God's laws that if the righteous actually obey God's laws, they're going to be blessed. But with some of God's laws, if the wicked put them into practice, the wicked will prosper and be blessed if they exercise God's laws. A lot of people don't understand that. So when God went down to check out ancient Babylon, he noticed first, and he writes about it in Genesis chapter 11, he notices first that the people of ancient Babylon are one. They're in unity. And then he says, and anything they propose to do, they will be able to do. Now, this is very powerful. This is such a powerful principle that every Christian should know the power of this biblical principle, because it works for good or evil. Whoever obeys it, whoever operates in conjunction with this law, is going to see their goals accomplished. So, whenever mankind, whether it's for good reasons or bad reasons, whenever they come together in unity, whenever they operate as one, then they release far more power and can accomplish far more. And the reason God is telling us this in Genesis 11 is that he's saying in between the lines to his own people, you and me, God is saying, hey, wake up, folks. Wake up and smell the coffee. This incredible potential, this ability to prosper and accomplish your goals, and anything you decide to do, you will be able to accomplish, because you're operating in accordance with my laws or principles regarding unity and oneness. So God observes the incredible accomplishments of ancient Babylon, and he says to the people, you know, you are as one. You're in unity. You're operating as one. And then he says, and this is for our benefit too. He says, now nothing you propose to do or nothing you imagine to do will be withheld from you. Notice also another principle hidden in there that God is revealing to you and me, and that is the power of unity, but also the power of the God-given human imagination. A lot of Christians miss it on imagination. They falsely assume that if you use your imagination, you're in the New Age movement or the occult. Well, that's crazy. Anyway, so God is not happy with the fact that also in the hearts of the people of ancient Babylon, they're worshiping Lucifer and they're participating in this satanic system of ancient Babylon called Mystery Babylon. And then God judges the people. The first thing God does is he destroys their unity. And so they formally had a one-world government. Well, God breaks up the one-world government of ancient Babylon and causes them to separate into individual nation states, into individual sovereign nations. And formally, they had one language that they all spoke, so they were unified in their ability to speak in one language. But now God says that as part of their judgment, he's going to break up their one language. And they will all speak in different languages, and they'll live in individual, different, separate nation states. Thus, we can derive from that that God, as a general principle, God is for nationalism, and God is for patriotism. Why? Because look at the way the Pilgrims and Puritans, who were deep students of the Word of God, helped construct the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, etc. They understood that man was sinful because they were Christians, and that sinfulness of man needed to be held accountable. And so our government is built with all kinds of accountability checks and checks and balances so that, you know, no one branch of government can attempt to take over or dominate the others. That comes from a biblical worldview, which acknowledges and understands that that man is sinful. He has a propensity towards evil. Okay, so God judges ancient Babylon, splits up their language, splits up their one world government, breaks up their new world order. But even though he judges ancient Babylon, as time continues to progress, the secret societies, the secret satanic and occult societies that operated within the system called Mystery Babylon had already begun to spread throughout the earth. And you'll notice that the Empire of Egypt is really a spiritual copy in many respects of the empire of ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel. The pyramids of ancient Egypt were constructed to imitate the giant pyramid structure of the Tower of Babel. In architectural terms, these pyramid structures are called ziggurats, and that means they're constructed in a pyramidal shape. So Babylon is constructed in a pyramidal shape. I mean, the Tower of Babel, the Egyptian pyramids are obviously constructed in a pyramidal shape. And you see the secret societies, the secret occult societies, which, yes, hello, they do exist. And anybody who does their homework or research or reads seriously knows that they do exist. A lot of these secret societies had the origination in ancient Babylon, which was an occult kingdom. And so, for example, when Egypt imitated Mystery Babylon in Babylon, they did it so many ways with their spiritual beliefs, with the construction of pyramids. And notice that you see all around the world, and this began in ancient Babylon and ancient Egypt, but you see all around the world what can be called these gigantic phallic structures, and you see near them these gigantic womb-like structures. Now, they're in critical places, like, bam, Washington, D.C. You know, the president can sit there and look down across the mall, and he'll see the phallic symbol-shaped Washington Monument. Okay? It's a giant phallic symbol that goes back spiritually to the occultic religion of ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel, and the role that Nimrod played in the creation of this Mystery Babylon religion, and how his wife Semiramis played a critical role in this Mystery Babylon religion. So if you go to Washington, D.C., you go to the Washington Monument, then you look, if you're at the Washington Monument, which is a phallic symbol, you can look over to the Capitol Dome building, and that's a giant womb. In fact, it is symbolically the womb of Semiramis, the wife of Nimrod, who was the head of ancient Babylon. And you see that the Vatican is a mirror city to Washington, D.C. There's St. Peter's Basilica and other structures where you have a giant phallic symbol and, once again, like the Capitol Dome, a giant womb building. So wombs and phallic symbols are two critical components, two critical occult symbols used by the Mystery Babylon religion and passed on through secret societies from super civilization to super civilization, from empire to empire, even to our present times, even to the time of the birth of America and the French Revolution, and to the present moment that we live in. What do I mean by that? Well, when we look at the reality all around us today, the fact is that we have a new world order that has been, it started to take off. I mean, it's been, the New World Order has been in its inception for thousands of years. But in the 1800s, there was a resurgence. And before the 1800s, in fact, it's in 1776 when America was officially born. These occultic secret societies and mystery religions were very much a part of early America. That's why we have so much occultic symbolism, like the Washington Monument, the Washington Capitol Dome, etc., etc. And then you go to France and you will see Illuminati pyramid symbols everywhere. You will see the phallic symbol with the wombs. You'll see that all over the world. And all of that points to the ancient occultic religion from ancient Babylon, known as Mystery Babylon. So when God came down to Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel, and when God came down to judge Babylon in ancient Babylon, God destroyed ancient Babylon because he saw that they really wanted to become, mankind really wanted to become gods themselves, and they wanted to worship Lucifer or Satan in their hearts. And therefore God judged them and gave the human race a warning that the human race should never again attempt to construct a artificial paradise, a new world order on Earth. Okay, so obviously mankind has not listened. And if we go back to 1917 or 1918 with the League of Nations, you see the acceleration towards the building of a new world order and a one world government, one world religion, and a one world economic system. In 1945, you see the building in Manhattan of the United Nations, a prototype of the one world government. And actually, when you examine the spiritual beliefs that are the guiding force for the United Nations, the spiritual beliefs that they operate under come from things like an organization that was originally known as Lucifer Trust, and it was an education and publishing house located on the grounds of the United Nations to promote the occult and theosophy teachings of the Russian occultist Madame Blavatsky and the people she trained. And so you read those, they're kind of an open secret. They're easy to find, but you read the language, the game plan of the United Nations and Lucifer Trust, and it's all a satanic game plan for the takeover of planet Earth under the guise of Lucifer. I mean, it's pretty heavy demonic stuff. So God judges the first New World Order, and we're in the process of building another New World Order. And you've heard that language. I've been writing about this in my books in great detail for decades. So, for example, in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and 2, I heavily talk about all this in Conquering the Matrix, in the book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind, History of the World, and other books, all that I have available for you at a financial discount if you go to paulmcguire.us now. Also, you can pre-order at a financial discount my brand new book. You can pre-order it now, Power from On High. I believe that will blow your mind in a good way because I talk about these things. Okay, so the purpose of the United Nations, and this is stated in its own documents, is to bring about a new world order. Okay. Now, the other thing is that this new world order has been growing in power for the last number of decades. We now hear talk from globalist institutions in Europe. We hear talk from very powerful billionaires about the great global reset, or the global reset. Now, the global reset is just trickery. The global reset is just renaming the New World Order, because the New World Order sounds too dark and conspiratorial. So from a branding standpoint, it's got a bad brand name. So the globalists are simply rebranding their product, which is the New World Order. So now they're calling it the Global Reset. And notice that the leaders of the Global Reset talk about things that are front and center in the Bible. For example, they talk about a new world order. They talk about a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world economic system, which the Bible talks about in Revelation 12. And the Global Reset also talks about a global healthcare program, redistribution of wealth, the destruction of independent nation states. And the Global Reset also is heavily pushing a cashless society with electronic currency, like a microchip implant or a biochip implant or a nanochip or a DNA implant, all kinds of new technologies where you can buy and sell, subject to electronic surveillance, if that's what you want. And it will all be done through some kind of variation of a chip-like, DNA-like, possibly even a digital tattoo-like technology, where you will buy and sell electronic. They can already, this is not a fiction, this is a fact. They can already read your mind electronically. No, it's not crystal clear like a movie screen yet, but it's getting clearer and clearer as this technology is perfected. They have the ability to plant thoughts and emotions in your mind through a wireless connection between a computer and your brain, or a wireless connection between a satellite and your brain. They can easily read your emotions, whether you're angry or happy or whatever, or filled with anxiety. They can scan your dreams. And most importantly, through wireless computer technology, probably relying on new 5G bandwidth, they have the ability to a wireless electromagnetic frequency beaming into your brain, wireless, they can cause behavior. They can change behavior. They can make somebody hostile and aggressive. They can make somebody passive and dumbed down. So these are all like futuristic technologies, but they're already in motion. And we need to be aware of that, you know, because I do so much research on this stuff for my books, like Conquering the Matrix. I regularly see what's called silent sound technology, or EMF, or electromagnetic frequency. I regularly see it in operation. Now, when I say that, I can't know for 100% certainty that what I'm seeing is the product of an EMF frequency. It's a hypothesis. It's a theory. And I won't state it as a fact, although I know it happens to be a fact in many areas. But when I'm talking about situations and individuals, I often observe subtleties, but odd behavior, odd physical patterns with their body, just things that just normally don't add up. And, you know, to me, from my intensive research on this subject, I believe that I'm looking at people's moods, attitude, behavior, language, body movements, etc. I believe I'm looking at a person that is being controlled or influenced or directed through powerful EMF or electromagnetic frequencies. Now, most people don't know about this stuff, so they see it, but they don't know what's causing it. let me give you two, I'll call them potential examples, because once again, as a disclaimer, even though I am convinced that what I'm about to share with you is indeed the case, since I can't provide absolute proof, I will use the disclaimer and simply say it is a theoretical opinion of mine that it is the case. Okay, so if you go back to a particular women's demonstration in the mall in Washington, D.C., okay, there were countless thousands of women that flew in from across the United States to have some mass women's movement activity near the White House. Now, while I was watching this mass women's demonstration, I began to observe a change in their behavior patterns. And it was happening incrementally, but it was accelerating. I noticed that the facial expressions, the behavior, the anger, the yelling, the screaming, the contortion of their faces, the spreading of a shrill hysteria. While I was observing this, it was like a temporary insanity and had engulfed this mob of women's demonstrators. And it was my opinion, based on my perception, that this radical change in their behavior, this radical acceleration of anger and hysteria, and just crazy behavior and words, that this transcended a mere escalation of human-generated anger or human-generated frustration or a human desire to see certain changes in our nation. I mean, people can have very powerful emotions and very strong feelings on any number of subjects, including a women's movement event. But in this particular case, and in other cases that I've observed, there was more than meets the eye. I believe that from some secretive location or hidden location, they were being blasted with invisible and silent sound electromagnetic frequency weapons, which can be used to dial up a person's anger, hysteria, freaking out, rage, potentially violence, and like semi-psychotic behavior, because it was. So this was playing out to millions and millions of people across the nation who were also getting infected with their anger. And that was the purpose, to spread this violent rage and anger against the president. Okay, so I had to ask myself a question. Is this a spontaneous eruption of collective anger and frustration? Possibly. But as I continued to observe the event and the level of hysteria and anger, I became more and more convinced that what I was watching was some sort of external behavioral control using electromagnetic frequency weapons or silent sound. Now, I'll give you another example. And again, it's a theory because I can't prove it. So I want to use the disclaimer that this is a theoretical opinion of mine. I'm not going to name the name of this presidential candidate, but he's a household name. He was a conservative presidential candidate, very well known. Okay, I remember when he was debating among his other fellow Republican candidates. He started out, this man normally is very fluid, very relaxed, an extremely excellent communicator. In fact, I would say he's at the top of his game professionally as a communicator. He just doesn't slip up. I've never seen him slip up. But I saw him enter into the debate for, the Republican candidate for the president. And when this polished politician began to speak, he was like 30 seconds into his speaking when I noticed that through his eyes and facial expressions, he was like, he seemed to enter into a confused, unusually bewildered state of consciousness. He looked slightly disoriented, but he was disoriented to the extent that it put the brakes on him delivering a logical, crisp, targeted debate. He was like stumbling around trying to find his words. He was like bumbling around. And he was losing terribly because he looked, many people wouldn't have noticed it, but he looked out of it. And because his track record of public speaking has always been phenomenal, I wondered the whole time that I watched him, especially as his language became garbled. The whole time I was watching this, I'm asking myself the question, is this particular politician, because now he's entered such a strange behavior consciousness, is he being zapped with a silent sound electromagnetic frequency weapon, which has been demonstrated that it can induce states of emotional confusion, disorientation, losing your ability, your linguistic abilities, an unusual fogginess, just looking out of it. It was subtle, but it was devastating. It killed his chances for winning this election. Now, I could go on and give you other examples. The point I'm trying to make is I can't conclusively prove that my theory in these two cases is 100% true. But based on my knowledge of the existence of this technology, I would be surprised if it was not being used regularly in our society and in our media. And it's important that the common person understands how what they're seeing on television in terms of anger or rage or violence or happiness or whatever, that it can be subtly manipulated by zapping an individual with a specified electromagnetic frequency. You see, we're in world of the future. We're not looking towards the future. We're in the future, and we've been in the future for a long time. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us right now and get discounts on all the books we're offering you, including if you pre-order Power from On High or if you order at a discount. All of these books are discounted, bundle discounts if you go to paulmcguire.us. You know, you need to crack open some of this stuff, and you need to leave the matrix world that you're living in, and many people don't even know they're living in the matrix world. The amount of truth that's out there is so powerful, and when you read it, and you know that it's accurate, documented information, it changes your perception of reality. You see reality through the lens of truthfulness, and that always gives you power. We're going to be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. we need you to partner with us by being an intercessory prayer warrior and praying for me, my family, this ministry, those associated with this ministry, and myself and family, and pray that we would effectively reach souls. So I need you, if you aren't already, thank you if you are, I need you to be a prayer warrior for us on a consistent basis. Also, I need you to help us promote our links, our videos, our audio messages, and other things we put out. Spread them far and wide. Otherwise, there's like on the internet, there's these invisible walls built on computer algorithms, which will block anybody who tries to communicate seriously about the Bible or expose certain things. The only way we can be victorious against that is to do an end run around the blockades. But that means you need to help us in spreading the stuff that we produce far and wide in your own circles, or circles that you could present our links to. This is very helpful in a way that you can partner with us. And then finally, I need you to go before the Lord Jesus Christ, as I always ask you to do, and simply ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me give Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church in terms of contributions or financial donation? And then whatever the Lord tells you to do, whatever amount the Lord tells you to give, simply obey him. And I want to add this. If you're not going to give to this ministry, then give to a ministry that is doing the work that the Lord wants done at this time. But you can't just not nourish the ministries that God is leading to you to, because we're all in this together. You know, what I talk about, I'm not talking about this stuff to help me. I'm talking about this stuff to help you, to protect you, to guide you, and to win people to Jesus, to disciple people to Jesus. So I thank you, each and every one of you, for your partnership. And you can donate safely and electronically or by check. If you want to do it electronically, you simply go to paulmcguire.us, and we have tons of free resources for you at paulmcguire.us. All right, this is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. We'll be back in just a moment. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is Paul McGuire. One of the things that prevents people from becoming all they were created to be, and let's emphasize becoming all that they were created. That's the most important word. One of the things that prevents people from becoming all that they were created to be, that is a direct reference to you and I are not the product of random chance evolution over 200 million years. That would imply that we're nothing. We are something. We were created by the Creator God, capital C, and he created us. So he created us with a purpose in mind. This is imperative. That is real education, by the way. When you know why you were created. And that, of course, directs us to the super censored fact, which is there is a real biblical God. There is a real, infinite, personal, living God of the universe. He does exist. And the first step in gaining wisdom and knowledge is to understand that he exists and enter into a relationship with him. I mean, that is imperative. Now, this world has been under the sway of the occult, the original, the first New World Order system was known as Mystery Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel in ancient Babylon. And they ruled through a mysterious set of occult and satanic principles. Now, those principles were passed on from empire to empire, kingdom to kingdom, to a network of secret occult societies that operate today, like the Illuminati operates today. So, the men who rule our planet, the heads of the globalist elite, many of them are committed to bringing about a global government. And in order to do that, they want to exercise total control over the masses. And so, when you go back and see an accurate artist's rendition or architectural sketch of what the Tower of Babel looked like, or what the original Egyptian pyramids looked like, notice first and foremost that they're both pyramidical structures. They also represent, on a symbolic level, a Luciferian chain of command. This Luciferian chain of command is still at work in our world and nation today. The philosophy upon which the United Nations is built on was largely created by the Occult Theosophy Society and Madame Blavatsky and others. So they have networked since ancient Babylon and the ancient Egyptian empire. They have networked. They have created a monetary system, which is in reality a control system, because it's built on an illusion. It's built on magic. It's not built on economics. It's built on magic. And the way it works is you print money from nothing. So you have papyrus or a clay tablet, or later on you have dollar bills or whatever, and these are all printed or produced to represent a certain amount of value, like a $1 bill or whatever. Now, you're supposed to have, every time you print a dollar bill or print money from nothing, you're supposed to have something like gold or silver to back it up, so it's not worthless paper. But you see, they are manipulating the global economic system with essentially worthless paper, and that is a form of occultism. So, when the Industrial Revolution occurred and factories were starting to be built throughout Europe and Russia and other places, the globalist elite, the wealthiest people in the world, realized that they needed men and women, boys and girls, who were trained and programmed in order to work successfully in their factories, in their manufacturing plants. In other words, the globalist elite during the Industrial Revolution needed a huge segment of the population to be educated, to be trained, to be programmed, to be an effective factory worker. The goal was never to educate or improve the lives of the people who were getting educated. That was never the goal. And this misunderstanding that is the goal is still with us today. The educational system that was built to benefit the globalist elite to supply them with an endless amount of compliant factory workers. That system of education is still the predominant template for our educational system today. Thus, your children, my children, just about everyone's children, except those that manage to not have to go through that educational system or who are very wealthy or whatever, they have all been indoctrinated or brainwashed into being happy, compliant, hardworking factory workers. And that's not, you know, a hypothesis, that's a fact. Now let me read something to you to prove what I'm saying. This is from a professor at a mainstream university in America. And he writes these words. And he's not conservative. He's not liberal. He doesn't have a private political agenda. And this is what he writes. The early industrial capitalists spent a great deal of effort and time in the social conditioning of their labor force, especially in Sunday schools, which were designed to inculcate middle-class values and attitudes so as to make the workers more susceptible to the incentives that the factory needed. Now, you think about that, and I talk about this in my book, Power from On High. You are not going to have power from on high if you think that you can separate your spiritual man from your intellectual man or brain man. It's not going to happen. You see, one of the most important messages of the book Power from On High is that you cannot walk in and receive the supernatural power from on high that God has for you if you're not going to think, you're not going to acquire knowledge and wisdom from God. If you think you can be an airhead and not read and not study and not develop yourself, and then God's just going to magically fill you with power from on high, you're in a state of delusion. God is not going to do that because you're not preparing yourself to receive the power from on high. So let's read some other things, what this professor said, because it's quite revealing regarding what our educational system was built for. So let me quote him. Much of this education, however, was not technical in nature, but social and moral. Workers who had always spent their working days in domestic setting had to be taught to follow orders, to respect the space and property rights of others, to be punctual, docile, and sober, like slaves. Now, I want to read something else here. And let's just go back to the beginning of this quote. The early capitalists spent a great deal of effort and time. Now let's listen carefully, because this is what your kids, my kids, have gone through. They have gone through a process, because these billionaires spent a great deal of effort and time in the social conditioning of their labor force. So you see, the deal was that they were going to provide free education for everybody. But it was not free education designed to make you educated, designed to help you better your life. It really wasn't education at all. It was an indoctrination. The purpose of their so-called education was to program you and brainwash you to prepare you to work in their factory labor force. So it says, a great deal of effort and time they spent in social conditioning of the labor force. That means they weren't training the labor force in mathematics and languages and things, entrepreneurship, that things that would money. They were not teaching the students an education that would better their lives. They were teaching them an education that would cause them to obey orders, work long hours, and not complain about it. Social conditioning. That's indoctrination. It's not education. But notice this. It says that the social conditioning process that they use it especially in Sunday schools. Now, when I read that, that blew my mind. So in their indoctrination educational process, they targeted the Sunday schools. So that means all these churches across America, when their kids are going to Sunday school, Christian Sunday school on Sunday, at church, they are really being indoctrinated in how to be a slave. Now, if you tell me that it's not important to have knowledge, I don't know what planet you fell off of, because you need to know things like this. Think of all the Christians who joyously and happily participated in this indoctrination process that was targeting kids in Sunday school classes. And what they wanted to do was inculcate or brainwash middle class values and attitudes so as to make the workers more susceptible to the incentives that the factory needed. In other words, the whole purpose of the educational system was across the world was to create and build a massive army of non-complaining hard workers that would slave away in factories with a smile. Okay, let's see again. Let's revisit some of the things here. Much of education, however, was not technical. That means they didn't teach you practical things. They didn't teach you skills or trades that you could be employed with. They didn't teach you how to manage your money. They didn't teach you about anything that was important to you and your life. They only taught you stuff that would program you to be a hard worker. So you didn't get any real education, but you got social and moral workers. No, I'm taking that out of context. What you got was workers who had to be taught to follow orders. Workers where you had to teach them to respect the space and property rights of others. And you want to program these workers to be punctual, docile, and sober. So the globalist elite is enslaving billions of people. You know, use your mind and imagine individuals, boys and girls, who are having the life and joy and creativity and the joy of God stamped out of their heart as they're being brainwashed to be punctual. Don't be late. Don't be late. You'll be fired. To be punctual, docile means to be compliant. You'll take anything. You'll take any kind of abuse. You're docile and sober. It's not just sober in the obvious sense that they're programming them not to come to work drunk, although that might be part of it. But what they really mean by sober is a sober, serious, it's all business, it's all work mindset. You see, they wanted happy, efficient, productive slaves, including boys and girls, to work in their gigantic factories and their gigantic manufacturing plants. And that's what it was all done under the guise of free education. You see, but it's deeper than that. There is a cultural program through the mass media that you have been programmed from the time you were in diapers to the present moment. And the majority of the programming that you have received has happened in your subconscious mind. You have been exposed to zillions of images, videos, stories, reports, fairy tales, movies, film, all man-made media, mainstream media role models. And all of these things are often designed to program you. To program you to do what? You see, the truth that I've discovered after 40 years of research, it's interlocking. Now, we see this master plan for brainwashing hundreds of millions of people to be compliant factory workers. But notice, in the same, a little bit later in time, you have the words of one of the members of Great Britain's globalist elite, Aldous Huxley, who wrote Brave New World and books like that. Now, Aldous Huxley was speaking to a convention of neuropsychiatrists at the University of Berkeley, and there he said that in a truly effective scientific dictatorship, men and women will not even know they've been programmed to be slaves. If they're so effectively brainwashed that they no longer know that they're slaves and that they're the happiest when they're fulfilling their duties as slaves, and they don't perceive that their duties as slaves as something of imprisonment. They think that's the ticket to happiness. In other words, they've been so heavy-duty brainwashed, they think up is down and down is up. They think being a slave is freedom and will liberate your mind and make you happy. And it's done scientifically. And you would think, I mean, I don't know, it's just me, forgive me. You would think that if you were interested in evangelism, you would think if you were interested in effectively communicating the gospel, reclaiming our culture for Jesus Christ, you would think that anyone in ministry with a serious ambition to reach people would have a minimal education into the obstacles that are very real and have been erected in front of you, such as scientific mind control, such as programming, and all the stuff we just touched on a few minutes ago. This template of education, by the way, is still in effect today. It has not changed. You dig, you know, Bill Gates and his teaching to the test. Well, that's just a slick way of doing what the globalists did when they were programming people to be factory workers. Teaching to the test, it first of all, was invented by Aldous Huxley's brother, Julian Huxley, who headed up the United Nations organization, UNESCO, which created a world global educational curriculum from the United Nations called Common Core. Common Core is getting all the students all across the world to educate / program them into being happy, subservient slaves. That's what Common Core is all about. And teaching to the test is, it does away with encouraging and teaching and developing your child how to think rationally, how to think critically, how to analyze knowledge, how to calculate. All of that stuff is brushed aside and replaced with deceitful psychological tools that are designed to program your children and programmed to be non-thinking, non-questioning, compliant robots. Robots. And that is what is happening in our world. You know, today Elon Musk, and I like the stuff that Elon Musk does, by the way. Most of it, not all of it. But today he became the richest man in the world because the stocks of Tesla skyrocketed. That means that today Jeff Bezos is richer than, that means that Elon Musk today is richer than Jeff Bezos of Amazon. And Jeff Bezos from Amazon was filthy, filthy rich. And one of the things this educational study said is that people like Elon Musk, I don't know where Jeff Bezos went to school, but a very large percentage of these super achievers, I mean, guys that are the wealthiest person in the world, Exxon Oil Corporation used to be one of the wealthiest corporations in the world. But both Jeff Bezos of Amazon and Elon Musk of Tesla have passed these other companies. But when you read about his background, Elon Musk was a big reader. He wasn't addicted to social media when he was a kid. He was a big reader, he said. He was a big reader of science fiction books, as I was. That develops your mind. That expands your mind. That teaches you about science and advanced thinking while you're being entertained. When you have a child passively plugged into a video game, even if it's a science fiction video game, you're basically programming them to have ADD on a permanent basis. You're not making them smarter and developing their brains. When children read, it supercharges the brain. So Elon Musk grew up in an environment where he was reading all the time, as I was. He wasn't playing with social media or banging his forehead on the dashboard of his car, listening to heavy metal while snorting a giant load of crack. He wasn't doing that. He was growing and exposing his mind, and the school that he attended was not your typical public school. I don't know about Jeff Bezos, but most likely he didn't attend your typical school either. You see, these people from these elite classes go to elite schools that teach an entirely different subject matter, one that really works, than the kids that are on the lower level of society who are being programmed to be worker bees and slaves. And so you say, well, why are you talking about this? Because God puts you here on this earth for a purpose. The devil's a liar and a thief. Every baby that comes into the earth, God sent here for a purpose, a plan, and a goal. Some choose not to obey God's purpose and plan. But many people, many young people are growing, and the Lord is maturing them, and the Lord is giving them a vision, and the Lord is growing their gifting, etc. But they're being sabotaged by a Luciferian globalist elite, which has embedded our educational system with a massive Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory mind control factory, where the kid's brain, consciousness, mind, identity is all programmed to be a slave or a worker bee. And we could go into it, how you see role models on television and movies and everything that reinforce this concept. Look, knowledge really is power. Knowledge of truth. So I want to encourage you to aggressively be conscious of it. When you begin to think a thought that shames you, you begin to think a thought that puts you down, you begin to think a thought that tells you you're nothing, you begin to think a thought that tells you this is impossible, or you can never do this, or you can never be that. When you begin to be bombarded with an entire series of subconscious and conscious thoughts shrinking you, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, shrinking you into a little insignificant nothing, that's the ultimate lie. You are not an insignificant nothing. You are a son or daughter of the Most High God. You were created in the image of God. And if you're saved by faith in Christ, you're going to live and rule and reign with Jesus Christ forever in heaven. So let's get on it. Let's move towards the goal here, and let's do what God wants us to do. You and I have a moral responsibility before God to not allow these evil people to corrupt or destroy the minds of younger children. And there are people in high places who right now, even as you're listening to me speak, are conspiring to corrupt children at a very young age in a way that has never been done before in human history. And what will the response of the Christian culture be? What will it be? Because they will be held accountable for it. You know, Jesus isn't playing games when he tells you his priority is little children. Jesus is not at all amused that hundreds of millions of children are being corrupted in their soul and mind and heart. He's not happy with that at all. Jesus warned, and this is what Jesus said, if anyone causes any of these little ones or children to stumble or fall, Jesus said, it would be better for that person that a rope would be tied around his neck and attached to a stone, and that he would be thrown into the ocean and drowned. And Jesus is explained that his fate would be better off if he received the punishment for empowering the corruption and destruction of children. Jesus said that if you empower that, if you allow that to happen, it would be better for you that somebody tied a rope around your neck, attached it to a millstone rock, and you were thrown into the sea and drowned. You'd be better off getting that than receiving my judgment upon your life for corrupting and destroying and defiling little children at the earliest of ages. God is telling you in no uncertain terms that there is a very severe judgment for that sin. Now, I'll just leave this with you. We're all called to take care of the business. Occupy until I come, or do business till I come. We're called to take care of God's business while we're here on earth. So let's do it. Let's do it, and let's protect our children. And let's not always be on the retreat. Let's be on the advance. Let's be taking territory, not losing territory. Let's be growing our minds and our spirits, not having them shrunk. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Take advantage of all the discounts we have on the various books. You can order them now at paulmcguire.us. And remember to seek the Lord, to commit the Lord before you undertake anything. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire.